Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Wait, sorry. I promised I would check something. Give me a second here. 4 days, 20 hours, 25 minutes, and 50 seconds until I am officially on Nerdtacular vacation.
That is very exciting. Yeah. I haven't actually counted the hours, but I'm
leaving. Oh, I have a countdown app. I'm not that crazy.
Oh, okay. I was like, holy shit, dude.
I'm no Rain Man, but my iPhone plays one on TV, so.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So yeah, I'm done after work on Friday. I'm going to fly home to Ontario. I'm going to the cottage for the weekend, and then I have some plans with some friends on Monday, and then Tuesday, flying out to Utah Wednesday morning, and then we are just like full on Nerdtacular mode from there on out. It's just gonna be insane.
Yeah, it's funny. You'd think you wouldn't be so nervous about something that is so awesome, but like it's always that build up, right? Like, but this week has been so crazy Swiss cheese for me, so I haven't even had time to freak out, unless you count this morning when we were trying to coordinate on seats.
What is crazy Swiss cheese?
Well, like it's the way I describe like a week that has been like a normal week schedule that has just been punctured with abnormal stuff. So
I see.
Well, yesterday I was in Toronto. I'm
not familiar with that phrase.
Mm-hmm. You're not familiar?
With that phrase.
Well, I'm hoping it catches on, and really all you need to do is when you've had a crazy week out of the normal, you just say it's crazy week Swiss cheese and it'll catch on.
Not gonna happen.
It will happen. Yeah. Hey, you know what, you don't have to take that flag and run with it, but I know a lot of people listening here agree with me. It's a great analogy.
All right, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
So we're flying down to Nerdtacular together, which is really, really exciting because I'm going to be in Toronto ahead of the trip. So yeah, you have nothing to worry about. You'll be traveling with me. It'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm so back.
Well, that's the thing is like I don't like flying, and our flight's at like 8 a.m. So it's like we got to get there at like 6 a.m. That means I got to – oh, my God. I was just thinking about it.
Are you checking any bags? Are you checking bags?
I guess, like, my luggage, right? Like, whatever. Isn't that how flying works?
Oh, you're such a noob. You never check bags. It's so much better when you don't check bags.
Does that make it go faster? Bags,
you have to get there way early, yeah. Well, of course you go faster. You don't have to wait for any luggage. You just throw it in the overhead bin, and then you can just, boom, right off the plane.
Huh. I don't know if I could... I don't know if I could do that. I wonder if... I wonder if Ashley can swing it. Like, check baggage is like a small thing.
Why couldn't you do that?
I don't know. Like,
what do you take with you that you can't? If Ashley and I can pack into carry-ons, what the hell's wrong with you, dude?
Well, that's the problem is I probably could, but I don't think Ashley could pack into a carry-on.
Oh.
I haven't even started to pack. That's the crazy thing. Like, I don't, like, what is it? Like, 7 shirts? What, are you going to double up or something? How does that work? That no way that fits in a carry-on.
Well, I'm going to be at my parents' place the day before we leave, so I have the added bonus of being able to wash all my clothes on Tuesday before I go away to Nerdtacular. So I'll have all fresh clothes on Tuesday. So I only have to pack enough for like 5 days instead of like 11.
All right. Well, then, see, you've got an advantage. So yeah, exactly. I've never found that checking your baggage was the problem. I always thought it was the incredibly long lines that had nothing to do with checking baggage.
No, it's all about the checking baggage. Plus, if you check it, it can get lost. If you just put it in the overheads, they can't lose it. It's right there. They can't steal it from you.
Well, great. Now I have something else to worry about. Thanks.
Sorry.
Let me just add that to my list here. Where is it?
Yeah, really. We should probably get going, though, because, I mean, we have a huge show for you guys tonight. It's actually pretty ridiculous. Chat room is already going just absolutely crazy balls over the Hearthstone announcement, which, yes, I did see. Yes, we will talk about. That's the reason why we're about a half an hour late starting the show tonight. There was no way that I was coming on and doing the show without seeing the full Hearthstone expansion experience. So We are gonna get into Hearthstone. We've got some Rocket League, some Arc talk, and then Ryan went to the Nintendo Media event in Toronto yesterday. So, I mean, we have just a jam-packed show for you guys tonight. So, I think we'll kick it off with the Hearthstone announcement because I know Ryan probably wants to get it out of the way. I promise not to go way too deep into it because I like obviously. I do an entire show about it. So if I get too in depth with Hearthstone, Ryan, feel free to just like cut me off.
I just, you know,
Garrett and I are going to go deep on our Nerdtacular episode, actually. So that'll be next Saturday. So about a week and a half.
And that's the thing. I don't want Garrett and Dills to come by and be like, all right, who let Jocelyn go off on Hearthstone? This is prime content for Nerdtacular, which is next week, by the way. Did we mention that already? I think we did. You don't want to spoil all the fun. Now, of course, there's some high level points, some bullets, shall we say, that we can go over, which would help me because I don't know anything about Hearthstone, so I need the bullets. I need the quick facts, that stuff.
Well, then let's jump right into this. Sure. So we had a Hearthstone announcement today. They did it at the Folsom Street Foundry, which is in San Francisco. So they did a fireside gathering where Eric Dodds got up on stage and was telling us all about what we can expect. And first of all, they had been teasing with a scroll that they sent out to the media, as well as a whole bunch of different kind of stylized art pages that had, you know, champions and mounts and armor and all these kind of like cool little things that were teasers for what they were going to announce today. So we were pretty sure it was going to be an expansion because the last time that they did this was Goblins versus Gnomes, and they sent out blueprints of mechs. So that was kind of like their press teaser thing. So basically what we did is everyone was guessing what it was going to be. And we were, again, this is the second time they've done it to us in probably a month or 6 weeks, really, really hoping for tournament mode because we were pretty sure it was tournament something. When you opened the scroll, it played the theme from the Argent tournament in, do you remember in Wrath of Lich King? That, yes. Like, raid area? Yeah. So, and it really alluded to a competition, a tournament, whatever. So we were like, yay, tournament mode plus expansion, please. So we didn't get tournament mode, which is like the only thing that was even remotely disappointing about this announcement. This expansion looks like a ton of fun. Like, it's just, it's absolutely crazy. It's called the Grand Tournament. So if you want all the details, you can go to, I think, is it thegrandtourney.com or grandtourney.com?
I don't know. I'm trying to find like a bare bones link. I find Blizzard is just super awesome at creating new pages to kind of showcase their new content. And they haven't let us down here. You go to the Hearthstone homepage, it's all there with they got the cinematic, the grand tournament trailer.
So it is, it's the Grand Tourney, TOURNEY.com. So if you want all the details, they're all there. But basically, we get 132 new cards, which is pretty standard. I think Goblins vs. Gnomes was in and around 130. I can't remember exactly which. So basically, we saw on stream 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 of the cards. Mm-hmm. Like, the announcement literally just happened, guys. So I'm still digesting. I'm still figuring out what's happening. So we saw like just over a tenth of the cards. Some of the spells that they showed and minions that they showed are so cool. And the big new mechanic that we have is basically interacting with your hero power. So there are minions with what's called Inspire, which is a new keyword. And so basically what that does is it does something every single time you use your hero power. So I think there's, let me see here. One totem dude, his Inspire text reads, give your totems +2 attack. So every time you use your hero power, your totems get +2 attack. Mm-hmm. Another one says, Inspire, add a random spell to your hand. So that is any spell in the game. So I could be a mage, ping something for 1 damage with my hero power, and then pull like a shaman spell or something. It's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, the Inspire stuff sounds like a solid addition, considering, like, that's just like when they say, I think it was on Twitter, they were saying something about a new adjective or verb or whatever. They used a word that I wouldn't necessarily...
Keyword.
Sorry?
Keyword.
Yeah. Pretty sure. I would not have used that word to describe this, but hey, it's the lingo, man. I do not mess with the people who use the lingo because they'd be street talking circles all around me. So inspire, that sounds really cool. That's like rally, right? Like that's another keyword that they're using.
Rally.
Yeah. Did I lose you? What was like, that?
Is that a magic word?
No, isn't like rap. No, shoot, not rally. What am I reading? Battle cry. Rally is a. Yeah. See, I can't even talk shop for 10 minutes, guys. I am so sorry.
Hearthstone really is Greek to you, eh?
It's not Greek. I understand a little bit of Greek. What is it? It's like that right. Star Trek language, rally. What's rally? I don't even know what that is. Where did I get that from? No, but that's cool. Inspire, great. Here's my question, and it's a problem that I know another podcaster friend of ours, Scott Johnson's, brought up with Hearthstone, in that you're adding another 130 cards 6 months after you've added another 130 cards. If I had, like, if I was being blown away by the 130 cards in December and scrambling to even bother to try and wrap my mind around it, how is this another set of 130 cards going to bring me back in? Like, what is this addition more for those who are still playing? Of course it is, because that's their moneymaker. But what are they doing for people who have like are now like, whoa, this is WoW and it's six expansions in, I can't even touch this thing?
You know, that's a really good question, and I don't really know what the answer is, considering I'm so deep in Hearthstone.
Because again, like to you and to the Angry Chicken folks, all the people who listen to that show, I'm sure there are some filthy casuals like me who listen and are like, what's happening? But like Dills, Garrett, you're all pretty steeped in it. And when another 130 cards are announced, it's like he's like, oh, finally, I have been satiated. This is great. And I'm just sitting here like, what? I can buy 50 packs before it starts, and that's a good thing? Like, I want to know.
Like, the thing is, for me at least, I had all the GVG cards, or at least all the GVG cards that I needed, probably within about 2 weeks of the expansion launching. So for me, I've been playing with Goblins versus Gnomes and all of the cards and all the mechanics and mechs and all of that. I've been in that since December, so I'm ready for new content. You, if you haven't played since vanilla, you're going to have the same problem that I had getting into WoW, and it really just comes down to, well, are your friends playing Hearthstone? Do you find Hearthstone fun on its own? Like, because eventually you can, you know, either buy or grind your way up to, you know, now, like current content, but it's tricky. It's exactly the same as it is in Warcraft. Like, it's really, really hard to prior to having the boost to 90 available. Mm-hmm. It's really, really hard to get in there and go from 0 to 100 in Warcraft.
I think what they could do, and this just popped into my head because Jimmy's sort of asking the same question in the chat, like, you know, obviously, if you enjoy a game, you're going to want more content, and Blizzard's in the right spot here to release more content for those that are pumping money into the game. But for people like me who just really were interested in it very casually and would like to go in once in a while, I find that the brawls, the weekly brawls, are a very good way to get in and kind of test it out and maybe get re-addicted to it without having to worry about all that extra bloat that's there. And I don't say it in a bad way. It's just the way I've...
Yeah, no, it's true. And that's one thing that I was going to say is, like, mm-hmm. there are casual modes. There, you've got Brawl now and Arena, which is not necessarily casual, but gives you a chance to play with all the cards. Plus, you know, you can buy in with gold, or you can buy in, like, $2 to play Arena. I'm not 100% sure. I always use gold. But basically, and then Arena will reward you once it launches. It'll reward you grand tournament cards. So right now it rewards Goblins versus Gnomes, but it will reward, I don't even know what we're going to call it. GT cards, grand tournament cards? I don't know.
They're saying TGT, right? The grand tournament?
TGT and GVG. Those are hard to say together. Anyway.
Could you see them possibly adding, for people like me who don't own a lot of the cards or haven't even touched GVG, like, I think this would they probably wouldn't do this because it would fly in the face of people who've already spent hundreds of dollars on getting all these cards. But do you think they'll offer like a, yeah, pay a lump sum and unlock all the cards from like two expansions ago? Like unlock all the vanilla content, unlock all the GVG content.
No, I don't. They won't do that.
Yeah. That to me, that would seem like a really cool way to be like, catch everybody up. But that just seems like a real destiny
move. If you want to be competitive, like, because basically you can play Brawl to get your vanilla cards. You can play Arena to get your current expansion cards. If you're really, really, really going to be competitive, you're either going to put down the money or grind out whatever cards it is that you need. You're going to dust everything you don't need, and you're going to use your dust to craft this very specific cards that you do need to be competitive on ladder. You don't necessarily have to own every single card to be competitive on ladder, because some cards are just total crap. And I said it on the show on Monday, I'm going to say it again and someone's going to take it out of context, but the Angry Chicken is crap. So, like, I mean, there are some cards that you just don't need. So you can dust the things that you don't need and use that to create a competitive deck. So, I mean, yes, there are barriers to entry, but it just kind of depends where and how you want to play. The only stuff that isn't craftable are the adventures, and even then, you can buy the adventures one wing at a time. So if the cards that you want are in wing two, you only have to spend, you know, $10 to get the first two wings of the adventure. You play the bosses you need, you get those cards, and then you're good to go. So, you know, there are kind of shortcuts. You don't have to have a full and complete collection. Like, I don't have a full and complete collection. I have all kinds of epics and legendaries that I don't have because I've dusted them because I'll never use them in order to create cards I do need. I can kind of see like, oh, you know, now there's 600 cards. It's a huge barrier to entry. It is, but it isn't, because the very, very competitive crowd plays with a very certain small subset of cards made up of all the collections, like from all the adventures, all the expansions, and from vanilla. But still, it's a smaller subset of the cards, which is obtainable, I think.
Yeah, I really don't believe that this quote unquote bloat should keep people away from playing it. Because again, like, the main reason I don't play very, you know, as much as some people do, a lot of listeners of the show coming over from Angry Chicken, like, I don't play it because I'm not very good at it, and I've never been very good at sort of like randomized card building deck stuff. I do have fun with it. I love the adventure stuff, and whenever they announce the adventure stuff, if they're going to keep on the same, what was it, 9-month, 6-month path for the adventure stuff, I am all for that, and I will eat that stuff up because it's less competitive, right? You're playing against AI that's been tailored for you as opposed to just random games against AI that are just a mage deck or a priest deck. So I think it's really cool, and it's a really great way. And I think that's Blizzard's answer to a lot of people that have the problem that I have, and that it's hard to get into it. And I think it is just adventure mode. Try with adventure mode. You're not playing against people who have been playing for years. You're playing against AI. There's no problems there. You can just go in, have fun, build a deck, and face off against some hilarious bosses. So I think that really is where the answer to that issue people have with the game. And it's not an issue. It's you have to add cards, right? You can't just let the game stagnate till everybody catches up, because either way you're gonna have people complaining. But I think it's exciting. I get excited when new Hearthstone stuff gets announced, because the internet gets excited and people have been genuinely favorable of what they're announcing, which is always great when a big company announces something and people don't get upset, right? It's really cool.
Well, I mean, there's always a little bit of salt on the internet, but no, you just
everybody's super happy about it. Jocelyn, don't even Google for do you hate Grand Tournament. I think it's fantastic. I mean, it's no tournament mode, but wouldn't it have been great if I saw they did a tournament on the stream? Wouldn't it have been great at the end? It's just like, and guess what? We did this using the tournament mode we developed. It's the Apple One More Thing or something.
Yeah,
there's your salt wounds.
So the other thing I did want to mention is the way that they're going to be revealing cards is very similar to what they did with GVG, which was a vote. You could vote for basically red versus blue, goblins versus gnomes, kind of like which one you wanted to be revealed next. They're doing a similar thing over at thegrandtourney.com, and that is to champion a card. So there's a different image behind each card. There's, you can see the image that's on the card, but you can't see, you know, mana cost or card text or any of that stuff. And so you just have to vote basically based on the picture. And then so whichever card gets more votes will be revealed. And I think if I remember correctly, GVG was like,
it was like a hashtag contest, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't a hashtag contest. When you voted on the website, there were like automatic tweets that were generated that were like hashtag Team Red, Team Blue, or something like that.
I'm voting for this walrus. Oh, man. Everybody go vote for the walrus. It's only at 46%. It's a walrus. People are lame. All right. Choosing a dragon. Like, you just had a dragon expansion. We want to see the walrus, people.
Yeah, exactly. We also obviously got a new game board, which apparently is ridiculously interactive. People are saying you can like eat the food and shoot arrows at stuff, and it's just, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing all the different things you can do on the game board. It looks really, really cool. I'm trying to think. You can pre-purchase, because we haven't talked about this yet. You can pre-purchase starting next week. I think that they've said there's 132 new cards, and so you can get a 50 pack of new cards for $50, which is, yay, pricing, cheaper. It's like a pre-purchase discount type thing. And you get a card back for pre-purchasing, so you know I'm going to do it as soon as it opens up, because card back. And the card back looks really, really freaking cool, actually. I wish that I'd had enough time to kind of get all these images in here for you guys, because, like, honestly, it's so awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I hope I can purchase more than one 50. Oh, no, it says you can pre-purchase a 50 pack.
Yeah. Oh, man. They don't want all your money. What are you doing?
Yeah, no, I want to give them like $300 and get like 300 packs of cards at the reduced rate.
That's, you're just not going to eat while you're at Nerdtacular.
They know that I'm going to try to get all of the tournament cards as fast as possible. So they're like, you get one discount, Jocelyn. You get one. That's it.
That's really good. They didn't do that for GVG, did they?
Do what? The pre-purchase?
Yeah.
There was a pre-purchase for Blackrock Mountain, but I don't think that there was any kind of pre-anything for GVG. I could be wrong. Chat room will tell me.
They will, probably. And your prediction for release is post-Nerdtacular, right? Because that's just your collective
will. So that's the thing. The pre-purchase starts next week, and they said that the expansion is coming next month. And they've actually been pretty good and pretty fast with releasing content after they announced it. So GVG was announced at BlizzCon and launched in early December. Excuse me. I went and got water before the show started, and then I forgot it in the kitchen. So this is going to be an interesting show. But
I could read the ad copy while you go get your water, if that's what you want.
They said sometime next month. So I think we're on the 22nd right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be, I don't think we're going to have to wait a full month for it. I think I said on Twitter August 11th, but I think I might update that and say the 18th. Just because they are doing the card reveals again. Card reveals take, you know, kind of 3 to 4 weeks because it's 130 cards. It's a lot of cards to tell us about. Although GVG, they totally did a big, huge, like 50 card dump right before they launched the expansion. So, I think probably I'm going to say the 18th of August is going to be my final prediction. There's no way they make us wait till the end of the month. I think we'll see it mid. So
I thought you bet, the 11th for a card pack.
Like, well, if it comes out on the 11th, then yes, Patrick is going to buy me a card pack. I almost said card back.
I said card back probably. I'm losing out on this. This is cool. I think it's really great, and it's awesome that they are creating this schedule and nailing it, unlike other development partners. And I'm not naming names, but other development partners.
StarCraft.
Yeah. You got a cold there? Maybe you should go get your water now. I mean, you missed a couple. Like, Diablo's been doing all right, but...
Diablo's not even on my radar.
No. Well, I saw they had announced a new area. It has snow. So, it's pretty fantastic. But no, this is great. Argent Tournament inspired new cards. And hopefully they'll have a brawl out that kind of lets you test the waters. Maybe they'll do like an Argent tournament brawl month where every new week is like trying a new shade of cards that they're releasing. That'd be really cool.
That would be a really cool way, like to do the week before, to have the brawl be like either have access to or pre-built decks or something. Like maybe like you pick Hunter and there's a pre-built Hunter deck with some of the new cards in it. That would be cool. That would definitely draw, like really, really draw people into playing Brawl, because last week's Brawl was crap. It really, really was. But yeah, no, I'm really excited. The other Hearthstone news is that we actually got a new Brawl today. So this week's Brawl, I'm trying to remember. I remember being really excited, but then this whole expansion just totally drove my Brawl excitement out of my head.
10 mana, right?
Right, that's it. The OP, yeah.
See, I pay attention. I know what's up. I keep one finger in the Hearthstone pool and kind of listen in on what's going on. I know what's up.
So yeah, basically what you do is you build your own deck and you start with 10 mana. So you can put whatever cards in you want, but as soon as you start into the game, it's every turn is full mana. So really, really exciting. I'm really looking forward to playing Brawl this week. And that is all I'm going to talk about Hearthstone. That's it. Done.
You have Everything to come else- to Utah to see the rest.
Exactly. We are going to go way crazy, super in depth. I don't know if I've talked about it here actually, but the Angry Chicken Live at Nerdtacular is going to consist of myself, Garrett, obviously. We have Patrick Beja joining us all the way from France. And we also have Jury coming on the show with us all the way from, I believe he lives in California, but I'm not 100% sure. He's kind of all over the place all the time. So yeah, it's going to be the four of us, me, Garrett, Patrick, and Jury. So really, really, really excited.
Yeah, I think I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the morning stream, but now that the Grand Tournament has been announced for Hearthstone, Angry Chicken is going.
Just the announcement strictly for the Angry Chicken. Well, thank you very much, Blizzard.
they know you're doing a big live show, and I know there was some controversy with other panels getting out of the way of the Angry Chicken. Luckily for me, Gamers Inn already requires part of the Angry Chicken, so we don't have to worry about that. But I think the Grumpy Cast is going up against you guys at the panel, and they were talking about how they were going to have nobody, so they're going to like crash the Angry Chicken. So they're going to have to do their research, find something they don't like about the Grand Tournament, and come on there and be grumpy. I think, just giving you a heads up, just in case you didn't know about that, I think that's their plan.
I didn't know that.
Oh, well, now it's, don't tell Patrick and Garrett. Pretend you're surprised.
It'll be a surprise. Yeah.
Cool.
All right, so yeah, that is all we're going to talk about Hearthstone. Everybody tune into Angry Chicken at Nerdtacular. I almost said Hearthstone at Nerdtacular. They are really interchangeable right now in my head. All right, so we actually didn't talk about it on the show, but we played Ark two game nights ago.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. So, yeah, we finally got into the whole, survival game genre, which we hadn't done previously on a game night. I'm not a huge survival game person anyway, because they tend to focus on zombies. But this one was pretty cool. This one had like a little bit of like a sci-fi twist to it. There were dinosaurs, so you could ride dinosaurs, apparently, eventually. I don't know. We didn't get that far.
they kept trying to kill me. So
the cool cover promotional art is somebody riding a dinosaur, and I'm like, I want to do that. Sold. Done. But I don't know. Like, so I had a fairly positive experience. I've kind of come around on it now. But I know, Ryan, you bought it, you played it with me, and then you got your Steam refund. So
yeah, I've been burned.
About that?
Yeah, I've been burned a lot by these games. Rust, it's great. Everyone loves Rust. Come on and play Rust. And you get in, you're just a naked dude. You run around flapping in the wind. It's like, this is boring. Like, you make your own fun, but with other games that allow you to still make your own fun, but do it better. Why do I have to imagine? I don't want to imagine. I can do that, but it's like strictly like a blank slate. And I need progress. I need sort of a path. And Rust, DayZ, and Miscreated, all other games that I've tried and just fall flat on their face for me. And I know a lot of people have fun with it. But so when Ark came around, it's like, okay, the internet's, this is Ark, the internet's current, baby that everyone loves, and
they're having a total love affair with it.
Exactly. And that was sort of what came around, and the only reason I said, yeah, let's do it, let's give it a shot, is because of Steam Refunds, which is why Steam Refunds exists, so you can try games and see if you like them. And I will say that Ark is probably the most well polished or most polished early access survival game with progress. You level up, you improve your crafting. It always helps to have somebody kind of watching over you. But as Brandy's putting in the chat room, these games aren't for me. So my opinion on this game is should only be taken if you're like me and not really were into these games. If you're into these games, go buy Ark, because this game is the best survival game that I've played. And that's coming from someone who absolutely hates them. So if I'm complimenting it, that should tell you that if you're really into these games, go pick up Ark. And I think that's why the internet has really latched onto it. But we had our fun, but it was like, okay, I don't think I can get much more out of this. And have you gone back to it since?
I haven't gone back to it, but I also didn't get rid of it. I didn't do the whole Steam refund thing. I hung on to it. I think I'm going to go back to it because I actually had a pretty good time. Once I started to figure things out and there was something going on where I guess I was holding the pick stuff up key instead of spamming the key. And so I wasn't picking stuff up for probably a good half hour. So I was just running around being like, why can't I get any supplies that I need to build anything? So for me, it's kind of like Minecraft, I guess. Like, it's very sandboxy. It's very like you have recipes, you have to build stuff, but it's a little bit more interesting to me because there's like dinosaurs in it. And just the whole world seems really cool, and I want to get into it more. My problem is that, like I think you said, having a little bit of a more driven experience, having a story or quests or something. It's the whole reason I never got into Minecraft is because like I tried it and I went in and I'm like, okay, well, what's the point? Like, what am I doing here? Why am I playing this game? And it's, oh, because you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Do whatever I want in my life too. I'm looking for an escape. I don't want to build a house.
And it's not about being lazy or not having an imagination. We have imaginations, you know, we do. And I just think in the limited amount of time that we have to play games, a pick up and play or a guided experience just serves our time better. And that's why Ark was so fun on game night, because it was like, we have 2 hours, no one's going to bother us, we're going to play Ark. Well, it was like about an hour and a half once we actually got it working. But you know what I mean? We had a set time. We set to play it, and we did. And I think these types of games reward you when you strictly focus on playing it for an hour and a half. And I did have fun. I mean, you can ride turtles. I was riding turtles near the end of it for like almost exclusively, like just jumping on a turtle and seeing what happened. He protected me from a saber-toothed tiger. And again, that was me making my own fun. But yeah, it requires outside impact, right? To let you know, to start guiding you, because there are people who kind of know how to play the game. And when you jump in cold, you have to kind of figure it out yourself, which isn't the greatest thing for a stream, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think the part that really turned it around for me happened right close to the end, where I just randomly got chased by a raptor. And I mean, it's a raptor. And I was freaking out. I was scared. I was sure I was going to die. And then I ended up kicking its ass. And I was just like, all right, you know what, guys? I just killed a raptor in my underwear with a hatchet. Like, I am the most badass of all badasses. And now I want to play this game more. So I really, really feel like I'm loving what's happening in the chat room right now.
What is going on with the chat room? They're all sitting there like this, paying attention when we talk about Hearthstone. We move on to Ark, which again, I'm not a huge fan of, and the chat room just falls to pieces and starts turning on each other. Now Jimmy's a mod. What's happening?
I don't even know what's happening. It's just they're going a little bit crazy.
That's why you gotta be here live.
Who can't abuse your new powers. You leave Fair Marinazax, just leave them alone to themselves. They'll behave. Anyways, back to Ark. Yeah, I really do want to get back into it. I just haven't had a lot of time. And the reason that I haven't had a lot of time is Rocket League. Yeah. Oh my God, dude.
So good.
I literally have not played any, like, I haven't played a ton of Hearthstone. I haven't played a ton of Warcraft. Rocket League is like, I've played it like every single night. I'm still awful, but every single night I'm playing this game. So it was your first experience with us on game night last week, right?
Yes, it was. And I've never done this before. And I saw on Steam that a couple of buddies of mine had picked it up, including Kearney and another friend of mine who doesn't own a PS4. And I'm kind of tempted to go buy it, like to have it on the PlayStation 4 for free, which I would have paid for. $20 is a steal. But now I'm thinking I'm going to get it on Steam as well to play on there, because I don't know if we actually really figured out the cross-platform play and whether that's a thing.
Well, the thing is, you can play cross-platform. Like if you and I queue in, like me on the PS4 and you on the PC, there's a chance we could play against each other. But it's no party system. Like you and I, Brian and Jocelyn, can't go into a party as you on PC and me on PS4 and then play against other people. We could just randomly queue in together, but with the number of people, like it'd be pretty impossible to figure it out.
Well, in that case, I think I probably will end up picking up for PC to play with the guys and whatnot. But Val wants to play with us. I don't think this will be a one and done kind of thing for game night. I even jumped back in and started doing some of the tutorials and working my way through some of the trophies, and that game is a lot of fun. It is, on paper it sounds great, but until you
try. I haven't done any of the tutorials. I think that might be why I suck, is that it's just been trial by fire, and I've just had Matt just totally carrying me.
Yeah, well, I did the same thing on game night. Like, I was auto-matching, but I think the auto-match was being generous by putting me on Kearney's team every day, or every match, and it's just like, alright. Or Legend, TK Legend was doing good. We were playing with TK Legend, and there was another person there. I can't remember. Anyways, I shouldn't name names if I can't remember them all. Sorry, folks. But we did have a good amount of fun on game night, and we should do that again for sure. But yeah, it's on paper, it sounds great. But until you play it, you really don't know what you're missing out on. Like it's combat arena with cars, but you're playing soccer. And it's not just about like bumper cars and like bumping into the ball to move it. You're performing aerials, you're dipping and diving, and you're racing for the ball, and you have boost, and you can blow people up. And that first match, I think I had transformed into a 12-year-old, and I was just giddy, right? And I think that came over pretty well on the stream, because we were just having a blast. And I cannot wait to play that again. It's much more fun with friends. I was not having as much fun on my own. So
I had just as much fun on my own. Like I was playing against bots, and then I was playing against people, and I was just like, man, oh man, all over the place, just being stupid. I mean, you know what? Actually, I take that back, because it is always better with friends and having that interaction and being able to talk to somebody and having somebody laugh at all your stupid moves as opposed to be like, grr.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying playing on your own is terrible. Season mode is probably the best way to get in there if you want to play on your own, because it does feel like a single player mode where you're creating a team and you're going through and you're basically just picking how long the season lasts, and it's a lot of fun. And it's free on PlayStation Plus. It requires PlayStation Plus to play with your friends, so there's no reason why, you know, there's a catch-22, like chicken or the egg thing. You gotta pick up PlayStation Plus to play with other people, and you're going to want to download Rocket League to play. It's a lot of fun. And it's just, it's mayhem. It's utter mayhem.
It is. That's a really good word for it. It's just, it's complete and total crazy balls. And especially when you can drive on the walls and the ceiling, which I've done every single match I've ever played in. It's nuts. It's crazy. Everything is just all over the place, and it's love it.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. We'll play more. And for those who want to add us on, well, you can add me, Murpan on PlayStation, and Jocelyn's is out there as well. I don't know if she wants to give it out, but we will play Rocket League. So much fun.
I just don't add anybody who doesn't write me like a personalized message, or who doesn't tell me who they are in the chat room or whatever, right? Like that. If I have no idea who you are, I'm probably not going to add you on my PlayStation. But
well, most of the time they add like,
you just have to say like, oh, hey, it's Vaniel from the chat room. And I'll be like, cool.
Yeah. Well, do that for me too. Like, I don't want to add just nobody. Most time people do write a little message, you know, because if you're coming from out of nowhere, it kind of takes you off guard. But yeah. Write a little message, a little haiku for Jocelyn. Sounds like she wants a little more. So just give her a little haiku.
But yeah, if you guys do want to add me on PSN, it's just GIS Gamer, like it is everywhere. Like, I'm not hard to find. I don't know why everyone, I don't know if you want to give that. I'm GIS Gamer everywhere, like everywhere.
It's not, on me to give it out. I would feel like I'm performing a disservice by just throwing people's usernames out there. You know, you never know, right? But it's not hard to find. And as you've said before, like, Murpan, you're Murpan everywhere. And it's like, yeah, I'm not very creative, and R. Murphy's always taken, so.
Yeah. One other thing, actually, Azax reminded me, because I got this really, really weird email from Hi-Rez, from Smite.
Sure.
And so everybody go check your email, because basically it was a, hey, come back and play Smite. Like, you know, we want you back. We're going to give you 200 free gems, which is not a small amount. Gems are really hard to come by if you're not paying for them. So, yeah. Go claim your gems, because I played Smite like 2 days ago and they sent me a please come back to us, have some gems email. So they totally like messed up a promotion, sent that email to everybody. So you should probably have an email saying come back to Smite, have 200 gems. So just quickly go double check your emails because you might have free Smite gems.
Good. Yeah, no, I don't think I got that email, and I probably could use that email. I don't play it nearly as often as everybody else, which is another game that we are still playing in the background, but don't mention as often as we usually do.
Oh, God, I play 2 or 3 times a week still, so. Yeah.
Smite.
So much Smite. Love that game. It's like my go-to happy place. All right, so we should probably move on because, Ryan, you have so much stuff to tell us about. Before we do, I just wanted to remind everyone that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to upgrade to an SSD when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. So, Ryan, why don't you give everybody a really quick rundown of just like what the event was that you went to while I go in. Grab a drink of water. I'll be right back.
Yeah, you know, you go. So yesterday, yes, it was yesterday. Time has been flowing in an improper way lately. So I was invited out to Toronto by Nintendo of Canada to see some new Nintendo games, ones that are coming out from the fall to early 2016. And it ranged from, I'll just list them all off, but basically it was an event where they had a bunch of kiosks and I was able to go and play a bunch of Nintendo games, talk to Nintendo reps, learn about different games, play games that weren't well received for whether it was graphics or whether it was the type of game it was as opposed to the game that people wanted, and really just came away super happy that I was able to play those games, even though I was fretting about driving into town and all that. But anyways, It was a lot of fun, and it was an event attended by not just media, but a lot of people, a lot of kids. People were bringing their kids, which was cool because it allowed you to see how every audience would react to these type of games. It was really neat to see little kids playing Super Mario Maker, and when they couldn't finish a level, they would go into edit mode and take out all the enemies and add star power and, you know, replace jumps and chasms with bricks so they could just run across, and they would basically just decimate the level and have a fantastic time, just smiling ear to ear. And I think that's what really makes Nintendo games great, is that these kids just, they don't look at it and say, oh, this isn't Call of Duty. They just look at it and see a fantastic game. And it was really cool to see. It was about 4 hours. Spent the whole time just kind of bouncing from game to game. And yes, Val, they did have amiibos. Not as many as I would have hoped. And they were behind plastic cases. They had the Mario amiibo, the Bowser amiibo, and one of the Splatoon amiibos. But I did see the Yarn Yoshi. And it looks awesome. It looks as good as any of the promo images in the sense that some of the other amiibos don't necessarily live up to the promo images as they should. As you know, it's tough, right? It's mass production of $15 toys, so it's not going to be perfect. But and yeah, Ping Pong Pete Kearney, I had invited him out. I was allowed to bring guests, and I was going to bring Kearney out, but unfortunately he was unable to make it. But next time.
You were allowed to bring guests and you didn't even invite me?
Oh, you were in Halifax.
So
would you have come out? Would you wouldn't have been able
to. No, I
would.
come.
Well, you wouldn't have come because you're far away, but if I knew you were in Toronto, of course I would have invited you. I even told them, I said, oh, you know, it'll just be, they asked me if I was bringing guests, and I said, it'll just be me because my my podcast partner is in out of the province, so she's unable to make it. But I did ask them, they have multiple events a year, so the next one we'll hopefully know ahead of time, and we'll see if we can pull you in, and we can bring multiple people, so Kearney, you can come too, because I had invited him and he was unable to make it. It was last minute.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed a little bit of stuff there, but is there something specific that you saw that you're really, really excited about?
Yeah, so I was just, what I'll do is I'll list off the games I play, because there's a bunch, and we're not going to cover them all, because some are more worth talking about than others, and apply more to our audience here. So, of course, the big ones on the Wii U, we have Star Fox Zero, Super Mario Maker, Yoshi's Woolly World, Super Mario Tennis, and then on the 3DS, there's Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes, Metroid Prime Blast Ball, and then a couple of other smaller titles like Chibi Robo and Yo-Kai Watch. Yo-Kai Watch is this weird like Pokemon game that hit it big. It's not Pokemon, but it hit it big in Japan, and they're finally bringing it over the States. It's based on an anime and a bunch of stuff. It was really weird. I didn't quite get into it, but Star Fox Zero, of course, being the biggest one and the one I was excited the most to play, because I have not played a Star Fox game in, a proper one, probably in 10 years. You know, that's a franchise that only gets dusted off and pulled out properly every once in a while. And what?
Nothing. Just, no. You know, my 12-year-old boy mind giggling.
Really? What? All right. I don't know where I did my best.
Really?
Oh, right. Well,
he only pulls out properly once every like 10 years, guys. Lots of babies.
Did I mention, you probably didn't catch it, but it was a family event. I was describing how great it was that there were children present, and that it was really cool to see a younger generation of gamers enjoying Nintendo franchises, but Jocelyn had to go there, and now I have to.
Anyway. You asked, okay? I could have just giggled to myself and left it at that.
I suppose. It's my fault, everybody.
It completely, completely.
Anyways, Star Fox Zero, you know, to me as a Nintendo fan, didn't show necessarily well in trailer format, and in people's reactions as well. When people were talking about it, they just sort of said, yeah, it's Star Fox and it's being done by Platinum Games and it'll be out in the fall. And it's like, well, where's the you know, the preview, where's the reception here? It's just, you're just listing facts. I could have done that. And when I played it, It feels like Star Fox. It looks like Star Fox. It sounds, well, from what I was able to hear, again, it was very noisy. So a lot of these things I didn't hear, except, you know, oh, what was that? It sounded like I heard it, but I didn't quite catch that. Oh, Slippy, you're in trouble. Slippy's still annoying. I can confirm that. But the way you control it is with the gamepad, and it's sort of separate from the experience. And then you have the front screen, which you're controlling with, you're moving your ship with the left stick, and with the right stick, you're doing your acrobatics and stuff. And you aim using the motion controls by moving it. What most people took from that is that you were aiming by like looking out with the gamepad and doing, and just basically like looked like you were driving really weirdly. That's not the case. It's like Splatoon's motion control, and it's very small movements, and you can and the cursor is represented on the screen, so you don't have to look down at the gamepad if you don't want to. You can solely control the ship based on the movements of the gamepad and looking at the TV. But there are moments in the game where you do need to look at the gamepad to get that precise aiming, and that's when it kind of feels like you're looking away from the action. Like, if you're in a dogfight, the last thing you want to do is look away from airspace that could be soon filled with a hail of bullets, right? That sounds like a bad idea. But obviously in the demo, it was very controlled and it was very set up to be, oh, now you can try aiming with the gamepad. You know, it's a showcase demo, right? And it was really cool and you could aim and it worked and it felt very Star Fox, and I'm super looking forward to playing the full game. I think it didn't deserve the negative attention it got at E3. I think E3 for Nintendo was sort of a week of, you're not giving us what we want. Why won't you give us what we want? And I think Star Fox Zero is going to be a solid Wii U title, and it's been forever since Nintendo's really shepherded a Star Fox game. Normally, they just ship it off to Namco and say, hey, make this. They haven't really made one internally with such a close partnership with a developer since probably Star Fox 64. Or maybe count Dinosaur Planet, but nobody's counting Dinosaur Planet. Are you a Star Fox fan? I'm not sure if you're...
Not particularly.
No? Okay. Well, I don't think this game is going to pull in people who weren't fans of Star Fox. But if you're itching for a Wii U title and you want to play a cool single-player experience, it is single-player only. They have not announced any sort of co-op, although they have been toying with the idea. Now, the big one that is coming out in September, Super Mario Maker, this should be on everybody's radar.
This is one that I think we talked about. What was it? I feel like it was before E3.
Mm-hmm. They announced it a year ago.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I feel like it was a really, really long time ago. But yeah, so I remember them talking about it and me just being like, oh man, that would be so much fun. And I feel like they're getting so close with all of these titles to like making me buy a Wii U to the point that like I might actually go Wii U before I go Xbox One, which is, you know, like for me, the first console, the PlayStation, was pretty much a no-brainer. I really, really love it now. But yeah, I don't know. My next one might actually be the Wii U because, I mean, we've got Zelda coming. We've got everything that's already out, including like Mario Kart and Splatoon, which everyone is just still raving over. And then now Super Mario Maker. Like, I think this might be it.
Yeah, and Val in the chat room is asking, is it really that interesting? You're just building Mario levels. And that's what I would use to describe a new Little Big Planet game. Is it really that interesting? You're just building, you know, Little Big Planet levels, which,
yeah, that's, you know, totally what it reminds me of is Little Big Planet.
But the difference is when you see it in action and you get your hands on it and how easy it is to build a level and lay things out. Anybody, we talked about time before and playing Ark and how it requires a lot of time and imagination and, you know, investing what little free time you have in it. And with Mario Maker, you can literally go in there and start a level from scratch, and it's just drag and drop. And it's picking, okay, I want the level to be based on Super Mario World, and I want it to be underwater, and I want this palette set. And you take your blocks, you plop them in, you take a Goomba, okay, I want this block to have a Goomba in it, drag the Goomba into the block. I want this one to have a Fire Flower, drag the Fire Flower in. And you can shape the world in that, okay, I want this platform to be up here, and I want this pipe to go down here, and you connect, interconnect everything. And it's just really intuitive. And it's all grid-based, unlike Little Big Planet, where it was just kind of a mess. And I could never get my hand, you know, my mind around how it would work. Now, mind you, in the hands of some truly creative people, Little Big Planet was fantastic. But I think with Mario Maker, you're given a tool that has been sort of crafted in a way that anybody can use it. And I was saying, like, there were these like 12-year-old kids ahead of me that kept cutting in line. But hey, they're kids, right? They don't know what they're doing.
You can't get mad at the 12-year-olds.
I wasn't gonna get mad because I was watching them play and I was like, wow, okay, I would not have done this because they're hacking the system. You can edit any level you want. And I did play the Nintendo World Championship levels, which are going to be included in the game. They are way too difficult for me. I'm trying to play it amongst...
Wow, you've been playing Nintendo games forever and they're too hard for you?
But they're not... That's the thing, is like they're like Mario on steroids. Nintendo would never really design a level that difficult, right? Because... That's the other thing, too. When Nintendo makes a Mario game, they craft this package that anybody can play. They can get in there, and they can beat it, and they can have fun. And, you know, maybe the ninth world gets unlocked, and they're super hard. But even those, you can beat them pretty easily. With Mario Maker, a very skilled Mario gamer can go in there and make a level that's just super hard to beat. But you have to be able to beat it to upload it to the servers, which is a good check. You know you're not going to get a level that nobody can play.
It's just like where you start and then like a wall that's completely impassable and then the end flag.
Yeah.
Done. Hardest level of all time, unbeatable.
Exactly. You have to be able to beat it, and that's what's really cool about it. If you can make this world that you feel is super impossible to beat it and then upload it and say, this is the hardest level, you'll never be able to beat it, but I was. Mm-hmm. That's really neat that you can create that sort of community online. And they're really taking the share functionality to the next level, in that you can download anybody's level, you can sort, and it comes prepackaged with a bunch of worlds. So I was kind of exploring all the worlds that they offered at the demo thing. And there was 9 worlds consisting of 4 levels each. And they just jump around in terms of the variety offered and what worlds they sort of showcase. And it's a lot of fun. So if you're not interested in building, you can jump in and just play the game with the levels on the disc. The 100 levels, I guess, was just a rumor someone started, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was at least, if not more, than 100. Because they had 40 at the demo, which were pretty fantastic and varied. I obviously didn't play them all, but I had a sampling. But you can go in and change any world. Like, say you world 1-1 is a Mario, is just original Mario NES. You can go in there and change it to New Super Mario Brothers and play through that level that maybe mimics world 1-1 and play it in Wii U graphics.
That's cool.
It's really neat. And the way they've updated the graphics for the NES and Super NES versions of the game is really neat. Like, they've added shadows, they've added depth. They haven't thrown away what makes it a great NES look. They've just updated it to make it crisper and just look a lot cooler. So purists aren't going to be like, this isn't my Mario game, because it felt like me playing Super Mario Brothers on NES. In that it's very floaty, the physics are all there. You're like not jumping as soon as you would hope to jump like the other responsive games that have come after it. So it takes it very seriously. And there were some purists there at the event that were Mario hardcores, and they were loving it. You know, that was the cool thing about this event, is there's a varying of people. So these new kids that are experiencing Mario for the first time are enjoying it. And then these guys and girls who have been playing these Mario games their whole lives are coming in and just finally they're announcing this new Mario game. I can play more Mario levels. Mm. It's really neat. I think if you're into Mario, this might be the one that convinces you to get a Wii U, especially since it's basically infinite Mario levels, which we've never had. Usually, true. When a Mario game comes out, it's like, all right, I'm done. Guess I got to wait 5 years for the next one. And yeah, it's fantastic. Yoshi's Woolly World and Mario Tennis. Mario Tennis is Mario Tennis. I couldn't really get past the fact that it was just Mario Tennis.
Right. Which has kind of always been my problem with those games. It's like, it's Mario Tennis, Mario Golf, Mario whatever, sport, yeah. Insert name here. And to me, it's always like, yeah, but it's a sports game. Like, I can't remember if I said it on the show or not, but Rocket League is it combines car racing and sport games, which are like my two least favorite types of video games, and somehow it's super fun. But in general, sports games and me, not interested. So the Mario skin over top of sports games, just yuck.
Now, mind you, the demo was literally Mario and Bowser facing off, and it just felt like Mario Tennis on the last platform I played it on, except you get a super mushroom and you grow big, and it's like, it didn't feel like it changed anything. And again, I just played one match and I might have been missing some stuff, but that's going to be coming out this fall. Yoshi's Woolly World looks fantastic in person. Like, the yarn aesthetic is very cute.
There was cuddly. A lot of yarn this year.
Yeah, there was. But the thing is,
like, 3 different games that had yarn based, like either physics or mechanics.
Unravel at E3. Kirby's Epic Yarn and Kirby's Canvas Curse was claymation. And the thing I took away from the event on Yoshi's Woolly World was that it wasn't just an aesthetic. You know, with Kirby's Epic Yarn and Kirby's Canvas Curse, where it was claymation, it felt like an aesthetic that wasn't backed up by the type of game that I would want to play. Like, it was a great game for kids, and that it was easy, and it was very simple. Yoshi's Woolly World feels like they've taken that criticism to heart and created a game that can be hard for those that want it to be hard, and can be what they call mellow mode for kids who just want to get in there and try the game. So it's a fun and very difficult platformer when it wants to be, but it can also be just this fun romp through a Yoshi woolly world for little kids. And it was a good balance, and I was happy to see that I was actually dying. I was trying to talk to a Nintendo rep about it, and he was like, basically like, yeah, you're dying a lot, so I'm gonna come back, you keep playing this level, and we're gonna talk about this more later. But it was really cool. I still haven't decided if I'm going to pick it up, but man, if they package it with a yarn amiibo, it might be tough to pass up. The last two ones that sort of got a lot of heat on the show and at E3 were the Zelda game, Triforce Heroes, and Metroid Prime Blast Ball. I still haven't been able to confirm if Triforce Heroes has online play, which would be the win, would be the plus sign for me in terms of us picking it up. Because I had a lot of fun at the demo. At the demo event, they had constricted it to you had to have three people, and it was communication based, and it was just a lot of fun, sort of coordinating with these people I'd never met before. And by the end of it, it's like, okay, I think we got this. So I think that would be a lot of fun if we could all three of us get together or get an online mode going. At the event, they didn't know if it was going to have online play. I could have sworn there was rumblings that there was going to be online play at E3, but I don't know 100%. Now, this is a game that didn't really catch your attention, did it, Jocelyn? This Zelda game, right?
Not really. I mean, it's a Zelda game, so it's always kind of on the radar, right? Because I'm just such a sucker. I am aware. Like, they slap Zelda on anything, and I'm like, all right, I'll give you my money, because Link... it's not one of the ones that's gonna like push me into getting a Nintendo system.
Well, you already have the 3DS.
Well, yeah, that's true.
If anything, it's like, all right, I gotta get it now.
I completely, until right now, forgot that I even had that, because I haven't used it in, when did Majora's Mask come out?
February.
Yeah, since then.
Yeah, no, I think you'd like it. I went in not, you know, I played Four Swords, guys. I didn't really dig it. It was a cool, you know, gimmick. But this feels like, again, taking criticism to heart and making a really cool multiplayer Zelda game. Now, what I played was basically like mini dungeon challenges. And there is a campaign mode where you can go through the story, quote unquote, as your three Zelda heroes. And it was just a lot of fun, you know. In all the matches, it was like a mini dungeon where each one of you picked a costume. Of course, I picked the Zelda dress because I looked fabulous. And also, you get to pick from three items. It was the blower thing, like shoots hot air at people. And then you got the boomerang and the bow and arrow. And it was just all about coordinating and using those different powers to take, you know, hit switches and take out enemies. And there's height to it. So some puzzles require you to create a totem. So the top guy has to be the bow and arrow so he can shoot the switch or kill the Deku thing. It was really neat. And again, if there's online play, it might be something that I campaign for us getting, because as I was saying to them at the show, it's like really the only way I can play multiplayer games now is with online. And they couldn't tell me one way or another whether it was online. But finally, Metroid Prime Blast Ball. Everybody at E3 sort of threw up their arms and went to Reddit and complained about this one. And I gotta say, it's basically Rocket League with mechs. So it's kind of cool. You know, for a multiplayer side mode, they did tell me it was a mini game as part of this Metroid Prime Freedom Force or whatever, which is a four-player co-op game. But this Blast Ball is 3-on-3, and it is basically Rocket League. There are no acrobatics. You're basically, they throw a ball in the arena, and you're all in mechs, and you have to shoot it to make it move, and you can charge up your blaster, which makes your team take control of the ball. You kind of have to fight for the ball. So if you're all shooting it out at the same time, the ball doesn't move because it's basically equalizing with the amount of shots that it's taking. But if you charge up, you can basically take over the ball and have the momentum shoot in the other direction. And after a while, I'm playing 3v3 with other people, I really did get into it and thought it was a really cool addition. Like, most of the time, side modes in games don't get a lot of attention, you know? And it was really neat to see the fact that they were putting this front and center as sort of tryout Blast Ball. I mean, when was the last time you can remember really getting into like a side mode in a game, right?
True.
All right. Well, I tried to throw it to you there. I guess you can't really remember, right? But it was a lot of fun, and I think that one will have online play, unless I'm wrong. But
it would have to.
Well, I mean, we say that about a lot of things.
That would be, yeah.
I mean, Nintendo doesn't always do stuff because they have to, because it should have that, right? So I never assume, like, you would think Triforce Heroes should have online play, but the fact that they weren't able to tell me that was kind of, I wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, if Metroid Prime Blast Ball is pretty much like Rocket League, if you could only play that locally or with bots, that would, like, Rocket League would not be fun. The whole thing that makes it fun is like online play with friends and versus random opponents.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is something to say about couch co-op, but you're right. Like, we wouldn't have talked about Rocket League here, you know, because we played it online. But if we were all in the same room and playing on the couch, we would probably say, like, yeah, it's the best game ever. Because I don't know how it would work. You'd have to have split screen or whatever, which would be terrible for Rocket League because it kind of requires the whole screen. But I don't know. For those that were sort of like poo-pooing Metroid Prime Blast Ball, it's actually a kind of a fun side mode. Now, if there was a whole game based around that, then maybe we'd have something to say about that. But I had a lot of fun with what I experienced at the show. And it's not out till March 2016, I think. So we got quite a ways to wait for that. And I'm looking forward to trying the main mode when I can. But that was the bulk of it. There was a lot to play, and coming away from it, there were some titles that it reaffirmed my opinion on them, like Super Mario Maker, and others that kind of like, okay, this isn't as bad as some people are saying, like Star Fox Zero was actually really cool. I had a lot of fun with it.
You can never trust the internet, dude. Come on, you know that.
I know, especially when it comes to Nintendo titles. Yeah. And Kearney is confirming that split screen is awesome in Rocket League because he played it. They double matted it, is what I like to call it. I don't like to call it that. I'll never say that again. I'm sorry. But anyways, that's the Nintendo media event. I had a lot of fun. And Mario Maker, it probably the highlight of the show. Just so much fun to play that game. So much fun. Can't wait. September can get here when it needs to get here, but I'm looking forward to it getting here when it gets around to it.
Okay, so we've got Star Fox. When's that coming out?
Star Fox, holiday 2015.
Okay, and Mario is coming out in September. Yoshi, isn't that later on? Isn't that
I think like it's October.
Oh, okay. I knew it was fall, but I couldn't remember exactly when. Mm-hmm. I don't really care when Mario Tennis is coming out. When is Zelda coming? 2016?
I think holiday 2015. I bet you any money Triforce Heroes and Star Fox Zero will launch on the same day, similar to what they did with The Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds and the other Wii U game that they launched. But
I was like, there was anything else? I just, like, tunnel vision Zelda.
Yeah, it was a weird day for me where I was like, oh, I got a Wii U and I can actually play this game that they're launching. I can't remember what one it was, which probably doesn't speak well for it, but that's probably what they'll do is, like, late November, they'll do Star Fox Zero and Triforce Heroes. Metroid Prime Blast Ball is March 2016. Chibi-Robo is also 2016. Woolly World, yeah, October. It's already out in Europe. You can go read reviews for that game. It actually got pretty middling reviews, unfortunately, but I liked what I played. I didn't obviously play the whole thing, so I can't speak to any reviews, but if you are interested in Woolly World, you can go find reviews for the European version, which shouldn't differ very much from what's coming out later this year. So, yeah, if you're looking to buy a Wii U, I think Super Mario Maker is another one that you add to that list. So, get on it, folks.
All right, so lots of news coming out of that media event. God, I'm super jealous that you got to play all this stuff, especially since I don't have a Wii U. So I'm like, I've been totally Nintendo deprived.
Yeah.
But
well, they'll have
maybe that, you know. Change that. Maybe.
Well,
I'm still crossing my fingers and hoping for some sort of like Zelda branded Wii U that's going to come out when they launch the game, but that keeps getting delayed and now it's probably just going to be on the next system, whatever that is, and maybe I'll just have to skip a Wii U completely. I don't even know. Nintendo, get your shit together.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about this. Like, I was glad I went, and I was glad I got, you know, my face in there and the gamers in known there and whatnot, and just showed up and made a presence, because we might get to play Zelda there at one point. So fingers crossed. They had a lot of Nintendo software there, so maybe in the years to come, we'll actually get to play it early. Although the line will be crazy long, but something to look forward to.
All right. Totally lost my spot.
Yeah, I think we're done. The Nintendo, that's enough Nintendo talk.
Yeah, it's always enough Nintendo talk. We always get into these Nintendo like black holes.
Well, it was a good black hole. It was a lot of positivity, I think. But the unfortunate part is I can't really tell you the next time we're going to talk about a Nintendo franchise, right? Like, it's September. That's the next one. But you look at other franchises, we'll be talking about video games all summer. And it's crazy to think that there's nothing that we'll be able to talk about on the Wii U or the 3DS. Kind of sad.
Yeah. All right. So if you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head over to slashloot.com. That is slash loot.com to grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all your other favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torrent Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com to show off your podcast pride. That brings us to our listener feedback section. And we got a tweet this week with a game suggestion from Val. So those of you might remember her from a few episodes ago. She came on to talk about Life is Strange, right?
Yes. She was playing through Life is Strange with us, which, oh my God, isn't the new episode like this week? I missed it.
Oh, it could be. I remember seeing Game of Thrones is having a new episode, like 4 of 5 or 5 of 6 is coming out in the next week or two.
Oh yeah, I read the
holy shit, they're already at episode 5. Like, I totally missed like 4 episodes there.
I'm gonna spoil you the review headlines that you're gonna read for the Game of Thrones episode, so prepare. Like,
all right,
the best episode of Game of Thrones yet, Telltale updates its masterpiece. So you could basically just like IGN, Polygon, all those fine folks.
That's in love with that game. I don't understand.
That's always their headline, Jocelyn. Prove me wrong. Like, when the reviews go live or the tweets get going out, that'll be the byline, right? Like, ugh. It always happens. But no, Life is Strange, supposedly imminent, a new episode. I think they had aimed for this week, but it might look like it slipped to next week, which is unfortunate because we'll be away.
I know, and I freaking love playing Life is Strange. I think other than Wolf Among Us, it's probably my favorite like point and click adventure title that we've played as part of Gamers In stuff. Like, man, so good.
My favorite. I'd have to
say. Really? Even over Wolf Among Us?
I liked Wolf Among Us, but I'm just finding Life is Strange to be the characters are more interesting. Or not the characters. I guess the characters are more interesting than Wolf Among Us. I mean, they're freaking fairy tales, but Life is Strange mechanics are better, you know, with the time rewind and
being able to choose choices. Yeah, that's true. The time rewind puzzle solving is actually really, really cool. That's true. Mm-hmm. Wolf Among Us is very much just like clues and putting stuff together. But yeah, the time rewind is a really cool mechanic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Maybe I'm getting more on board.
Good. So what did Val tweet us about?
She actually recommended a game called Her Story that she heard about on Rebel FM, and she was curious to know what we would think of it. I haven't actually played it yet. Ryan, you picked it up but haven't played it either, right? So I think we're going to save it until after Nerdtacular.
Yeah, this will probably be our first game that we talk about coming back from Nerdtacular. Maybe if not the week after Nerdtacular, but the week after that, because I have a longer vacation than Jocelyn does. I'm missing it by a day. But Her Story looks cool. It's kind of one of those game experiences, right? It's not a typical game. It's still a game, folks. I worded that carefully.
We're not going to have that argument again.
No, that's why I worded it carefully and made sure I let everybody know that I did. Her Story revolves around you, a tech on a computer for a police station, and you're researching and testing out this new video database. And the database they throw at you is a crime from the past, I believe, where it's just a bunch of interview shots with this woman over the course of many years. And basically the game revolves around learning about this case. You're not trying to solve the case, you're just learning about this case. And you decide when the story, when you've had a sufficient amount of information. And I haven't tried it yet, and it's a game that you shouldn't have spoiled for you, because I hear it is an experience, and an experience that you sort of concoct your own story with it, and you kind of, you know, experience it for yourself. So it's $5 on Steam. I recommend everybody go pick it up, and we'll do a little game club out of it. You've got 3 weeks, so plenty of time to play this game. It's only $5 on Steam. Totally worth checking out.
Very, very cool. Yeah, and I am going to check it out when I get back from vacation. It's just, it's one of those things where it's, there's so much stuff crammed into these last couple of days before I leave that, yeah, I just won't have time to play, so.
Yeah, I ran out of time. I wanted to play it for like the last 2 weeks because it's been sitting in my inbox, and it's been getting a lot of love from the industry. It's like one of those, it's like Gone Home. It's like a lot of those titles that the industry picks up and tries to, like, you know, this is a game people need to play because it's different from a shoot 'em up or a card battler or insert, you know, highly publicized genre here. So It's good.
I'm looking forward to it. So we also got a Patreon comment from Val. So
yeah, she's been busy.
She's been all over the place this week. Do you want to tell us about her?
Yeah, so
recommendation here.
For those who don't know, you can become a patron at patreon.com/thegamersin, and that's another venue that you guys can use to send your ideas to us. And one of our milestones is to basically patron game of the month. And Val has put her vote in. I don't know where to post this, but if you guys hit your monthly goal, I dare you to play, and as Ryan puts it, it's very Japanese. It's called School Idol Festival by K-Lab Inc., and it's a free iOS game, and it's,
oh my God.
It's like student, it's like teenage girl anime.
Oh my God, I'm going to put this link in the chat room because it's, yeah.
There's people in swimsuits, there's people
it's
in...
It's very Japanese.
It's very Japanese, and I think Val, because this thing is free, technically... If we wanted to accept it. Now, mind you, we've already accepted your challenge for her story, so like one at a time. But theoretically, it is free to play. We don't have to wait until the patron game of the month. I mean,
true.
This isn't a veiled attempt to get us to play this game because I have no idea what I'm looking at here. Like, what is even the gameplay? Just looking
I don't know, but apparently if you get a 21 combo, it's perfect.
Perfect. And there's a bunch of girls. There's like a student thing. It looks like there's... talking, where's the gameplay? There's like a card battler, it looks like. It's very colorful. It's also very Japanese, Val. You were right to say that. So, maybe.
Oh, School Idol Festival. So, it looks like maybe it's a singing thing because there's music notes.
Right? Is it like a tapping mini game?
Sing. Val, I don't sing. So, if I have to like sing into my phone or something, this game isn't happening.
So she mentions there's in-app purchases. Now I'm going to tell you how the in-app purchases work. You can buy one love gem for 99 cents, or you can buy 86 love gems for $49.99. Now that, hey, if you're not into Hearthstone, you could take that $50 pre-purchase, put it toward these love gems. 86 of them. It's way more than you're going to get from Hearthstone.
Wow.
That's not true, but yeah, no, maybe.
Good recommendation, Val. Thanks for that.
Hey, we had a lot of fun talking about it. As much as Kearney is trying to throw me under the bus here, I have not been playing it, okay? I've not even booted it up, and I have the iPad hard drive to prove it. Don't look at my game center. Just take my word for it. But it's not currently installed. It's not installed on my iPad. I promise you that. Val saying she thinks it's a music game. So, but yeah, speaking of Patreon, do you want to cover the next couple weeks and how we're going to do this thing? Break it down?
Absolutely. So as we mentioned, we are going to be live at Nerdtacular. That is Saturday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time in Primrose B, if you're actually going to be in Utah at Nerdtacular. I believe, is Primrose B the room that we had Angry Chicken in last year? One that's kind of up and off to the side?
I don't know. Scott had come on. He was in the chat one night, and he had basically said that it's a new room, so I'm not Sure.
So then, no, it'll be a different room. So Primrose B is where we're going to be doing the live gamers in. And that, again, is Saturday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, which is, I believe, 11 a.m. Eastern.
You know, wouldn't it be later?
No, the other way. 3 p.m. 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Yeah, and right after Gamers In, there's a break. So you have a half-hour break on the stream, and then I believe at 2:30 to 3:30 you have Angry Chicken, and that's Ballroom Section 1. Now, for those who aren't going to be there, it's all live-streamed, so you're going to be able to watch it. That's the reason we're giving you the room numbers, because I think that's how they're breaking up the streams. I'm not sure, though.
I think there's going to be, like, one stream per room. So the Gamers In will be, again, on the Primrose stream, the Angry Chicken is on the main stage, but they usually split the main stage into three, and I don't know which of the three we're going to be on. So, but that, like Ryan said, was happening in the afternoon. And then there's some other stuff going on throughout the day that I'm doing, but I'm not 100% sure if it's actually public yet. So just stay tuned, and when I can announce things, I will announce things. But there are all kinds of events and happenings that will be streamed. So cool. I'm excited. It's going to be a really good event. Really, really good event.
Yeah, I'm excited to get back to it. I took a year off, and it's going to be great to go back. And it's awesome that Sales Geek was able to throw Gamers in there as a show. So it's really cool.
But everything, actually, we should say everything can be found at nerdtacular.com. So if you guys are curious about what's going on, what the schedule is, who's there, who's doing what, then nerdtacular.com, all the information is kind of all in one place, as events tend to do. So we just wanted to tell everybody that we're not doing game night this week because I'm actually flying out the day after game night. So same with next week, because we will both be at Nerdtacular on Thursday. No Gamers In episode on Wednesday next week, because we will be recording on Saturday. So we will be a couple days late on Gamers In for next week. But then everything will return to normal on Wednesday, August 6th, when I believe it's going to be me and Matt who are going to do the show, because you're still traveling, right?
Yeah, I'll be up in the air. Without George Clooney. George Clooney will not be there, but I will be flying August 5th. August 5th Gamers In will be back. August 6th is our game night, first game night back, so, and I'll be there.
Okay,
for that.
Game night is the 6th, so sorry, the 5th will be the first episode. Fair enough. Yeah. But yeah, so basically after the Nerdtacular weekend, we will be back to our regular schedule, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really looking forward to all of this stuff. Apparently, Gamers In is up against Current Geek, which is unfortunate because I freaking love Current Geek. So that's the one downside to being on so many panels and presenting so many things. You miss out on a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But again, like, they went to the track system where they always had four things going on at once. So you're not always going to be missing out on something you're looking forward to. But there will be times when there are multiple things going on at once. And if your schedule is varied, it sounds like you're going to be doing some stuff while other stuff is going on. So
I know. But the good thing is you can always catch up on everything, because they do post everything later on. So the whole Nerdtacular event will be available in one form or another. So if you miss something, then you can always catch it later on in a replay. So we did actually want to thank a patron this week. His name is Braska. So thank you very much for supporting the show. If you would like to support the show, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thegamersin. And I think that pretty much does it for us tonight. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer, Ryan's at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email us, if you'd like to email the show and let us know what you thought about, oh, I don't know, Rocket League or the Hearthstone announcement or anything that Ryan saw and played with at the Nintendo Media Event, you can email us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for tuning into the Gamers In, and remember, tune in next week, but on Saturday, not Wednesday. Yay. And not here on Alpha Geek. Oh, did we talk about Alpha Geek?
What do you mean?
I don't think we did. Aren't they still running a Indiegogo thingy?
Yeah, no, I threw that in. I wanted to mention, GamersIn is able to go live audio versions and video on Alpha Geek Radio, and they're looking for some help with getting new technology because they've been basically like welcoming people left, right, and center to be added to their schedule for live streaming. If you go to their schedule, it's very different from what it was years ago when you first heard of Alpha Geek Radio. So they've got three channels going really fast and hard, and I don't know why I said that. Anyways, no, they're looking for some help for upgrades and stuff. You can go to Indiegogo, pledge your support. They also have a Patreon as well. So if you don't want to do the lump sum, you can subscribe to it through Patreon like you do for Gamers Inn. There are many ways to help out Alpha Geek Radio. This Indiegogo will be going for the next 28 days, and they've already raised a good sum of money towards their upgrades. So, and they've got a good path, and they do a lot for the podcasting community and Frog Pants
really
as a
do.
Whole. Yeah, worth checking out for sure.
Yep. So I think that does it for tonight, then, guys. So we will see you at Nerdtacular.